big bike brands are folding. Who will be next? Neil, any ideas?
I have my own ideas of bike brands that may be going down the toilet pan.
Well, keep that in mind. It's all coming up on the Dirt Shed Show.
The industry, yes. Mark, we're still talking about the industry because the revelations continue about the sorry state of the affairs of the bike industry.
Scary, isn't it?
Although there's some more positive news with teams, I suppose, this week. And I think that is what's, you know, filtering through from the problems with people not selling enough bikes was all those teams folding and riders going. Now we're seeing some riders announcing new rides. But
I mean, just set it up. This last week we've seen Orange Bikes go into administration.
Yeah.
If you don't know Orange Bikes, if you're outside the UK, well, they're a really important brand in the UK. Got a big following.
Yeah.
Really, really supported brand. It's probably fair to say their designs haven't moved on over the last 5 years, maybe more.
Probably. It's the criticism they always get. Although Orange is there when I started mountain biking with the clockwork, they've been around forever.
Yeah, and I think the sad bit about this is they have been part of some big moments in mountain biking history.
Who can forget when Steve Peat signed for Orange? That was out of the blue.
Huge. And I mean, so it's really sad. But Orange are relatively small brand, okay? They haven't got an awful lot of capital. We can see why they've got in problems because that bike design not developing and, you know, just needing the cash. Whereas recently we saw CRC Wiggle go into choppy waters and now looking like it's going to be bought out. Bit of a parachute, hopefully coming from Sports Direct.
It was such a big business. It was interesting to read through the creditors, the people they owed money. There's some big numbers in there.
Massive.
You know, a certain distributor in the UK, they owed £1 million. And that was, you know, on the long, long list of people owed, including some of their pro bike riders on that list.
Apparently
as well.
£26 million worth of debt to various bike brands. So that's pretty scary. And who knows what's going to happen next or who will be next. There's weird things happening. Like, for instance, Kona selling buy one, get one free mountain bikes.
How does that even work?
That's a scary sign.
What do you do? You must go twos with a mate. Or did Specialized do this a while back with a road bike? If you bought a mountain bike, you got a road bike.
I think you bought a mountain bike, you got a gravel bike free. I mean, it's crazy times. And a lot of this is because a lot of these brands are just massively overstocked. Kona could be, you know, one of those brands where they've got big investors who could just get a bit bored of mountain biking if it's not making a lot of money. So that's scary, but rumour mill a little bit, and you can't really go with the rumours.
Well, we are speculating.
Yeah,
we don't
we're
know
speculating
this, by the way, but we're guessing.
And I think you can't go with the rumours because it was only a year or so ago Norco were saying it's too expensive to go racing. We're not going to have a race team. They were talked into keeping it going, but they just. Well, tell us what they just did.
They've just signed Greg Minnaar, which is big news, obviously. You may have seen some of the chat with Greg this week that, well, he's been on Santa Cruz for 16 years. He didn't know this was coming until October. So really, really last minute, after the last race of the year. And as a former pro, I've been in that situation where all the deals are already done. So you've got to go scrabbling around. And Greg Minnaar's got to go scrabbling around. And it looks like he's got himself a deal. I'm not sure. I don't know the details. But I would think he's taken probably a bit of a pay cut.
Yeah.
But the bike looks good. He's building his own program with some pretty successful people. He's got Alan Milway running the team. He's got Kathy Sessler. Someone else who I forget, but
it sounds like the dream to me.
It looks like he's working very hard on that though, and how will that play out in his riding? Well, it's Greg Minnaar, so he's probably going to not do it affect him very much. But
it's going to be really interesting to see what he does on that bike, and very exciting for all us race fans. But yeah, it does just go to show you can't really trust what, you know, brands are saying as a, you know, watch what they do, not what they say, isn't it? That's the thing.
Also, you know, when people, there's a recession, which we're not sure we're in or not yet, but if people aren't selling enough things, then the first thing they do is cut their marketing budget straight away. Yeah. Most time, that is teams.
Yeah.
But also, some people then decide it's time to spend because other people are cutting. So maybe that's what we're seeing with Norco. Maybe we'll see that with other brands. And we will talk about it in the news that, you know, a lot of rides have been announced. Obviously, we don't know how much money they've thrown at this.
I like that positive spin on it.
There's got to be something coming.
That's very good. I mean, the reason this problem is happening is because, well, I mean, a big part of it, I think, is in COVID times, times, lockdown times, you know, cycling became very, very popular because it was a way of us all getting out of the house and doing our daily exercise, and it really, really made, I guess, something of a bubble. And, you know, unfortunately, brands, manufacturers, massively overproduced. Suddenly, dealers are getting bikes they just cannot sell because the bubble has popped somewhat. And now everyone, dealers, distributors, and manufacturers, have just got, you know, acres of bikes. There's talk of one of the big brands, I'm not going to mention any names, one of the big brands having £1 billion worth of stock.
That's mental.
That they just can't get rid of.
A billion's not even a real number, Mike.
I mean, imagine if that's cost. I mean, I think it's probably retail billion, but if it's cost billion, they're done.
I am always shocked at the numbers that are thrown around, particularly even that's, you know, that they how much money Chain Reaction owned. Like, you forget how big cycling is, but it does surprise me. I know you've written down next the Great Reset coming. Maybe we'll see the economics of the bike industry change.
I feel like there is a swap that needs to happen. I've been talking to some friends who are in, you know, bike shops themselves, and I think one of the things they say is that at the moment the manufacturers are deciding, along with the brands, what they're going to be selling. And it needs to work the other way round. The dealers need to be telling them what they want. And maybe a reset's going to happen. And along with that reset, I would like to see some vastly lower prices. I think that's part of the problem too.
I think obviously our audience agree with that as well, which, well, yeah, how couldn't they? Because we've seen in the videos we've done in the past, the dirt sheds, we talked about this, the comments are all about the sort of greed of the industry. So it's definitely a sort of common consensus between mountain bikers and our viewers out there. But will we see prices? I don't know. Has this happened in the industry before? I guess I look at the housing market, where in the UK particularly it is coming back down a bit because of the cost of living and inflation, and people aren't buying them. So,
But when I say a reset on price, Neil, I'm saying like half.
Back to 1990.
Half. Yes, cut the prices in half, please. We just did a video quite recently about, you know, how expensive bikes are and what some of the most expensive bikes are out there. It's coming out next week and it's shocking, some of the prices. Mad. Some good news, Neil. This week, we have got an amazing
free
competition running.
Wheels. Look, this one is a jazzy one over here with that purple Freon body.
Basically, win yourself a set of Reynolds Black Label Trail Expert wheels.
I don't need to, I've got one.
We're going to... You need two, mate. We're going to put a link in the description of this video down in the... Put a link in the description down below.
That's it.
Yeah. And follow my words to see if you can win this prize. go down there, follow the link, and you could get yourself a set of those wheels.
It's closing soon, though. You've only got till Monday the 15th. So you've got over the weekend to enter.
Basically, only got this weekend, so time is running out.
And you win one pair, not just one.
What's up, everyone? As I said last week, some good news for you this time round, as many of those athletes who have until now only been able to talk about leaving their previous teams are confirming their moves for this year. Now, I'll open this week with a couple of hugies from the downhill roster. Did not see this one coming in the slightest. Thibaut Dupreuil, race winner from last year and consistent podium threat, makes the move from Kmetal Markov to the Canyon Collective, joining Brosnan, Shaw and Johnson on a super strong downhill team. One that was maybe more slightly more telegraphed thanks to the online rumour mill, Greg Minnaar, the most successful male downhill athlete of all time, finally announced his new home, Norco Bicycles. After 16 years of racing for the Santa Cruz Syndicate, Greg has made the switch to the Canadian brand, and in the launch video can be seen testing suspension from both Fox and RockShox in a step away from Norco's previous SRAM-based setup. Just after we'd filmed last week, it was confirmed that Kiwi sender Jess Blewett has joined Cube Factory Racing. Harriet Burbridge-Smith, the Aussie freerider, finds a spot on the Canyon Collective roster, and Ethan Craik and Goncalo Bandeira join Scott Factory Racing. Hell of a scoop from Scott there. British freerider and enormous backflip enthusiast Sam Hodgson finds himself a home on Transition Bikes, and at 57 years of age, OG Hans Ray secures himself another 3-year contract on GT Bikes. Giant Factory Racing is adding some young blood, with Dario Lillo joining the XC side and Sasha Kim joining the Enduro operation, replacing Mikey Vazina, who will be stepping away from racing to be a team manager. And Swedish national Enduro champ Zach Johansson rejoins his previous sponsor, the Cube Action Team. Now, not all the most positive news. There are still a few athletes out the door, most notably Gwyn saying thanks and goodbye to Intense, a team he has been manager of for the last few years. Intense have stated that the factory team will be back with a new roster, teasing blackout images of athletes holding their front triangles. Hope the sponsorship covers rear triangles too. To stoke that rumour mill a little, I think one of them could well be Louise Ferguson, who has announced departure from Continental Nukeproof. Unfortunately, Orange Bikes from the UK seems to be in a spot of bother after closing down the Orange factory team just last week. The update from them is that they're set to have the administrators in. That's all for me this week. Let's catch up with Toff for the sickest thing.
Right, this week's sickest thing has to be this new video from Joachim Lundgren and Linus Pilsgaard called Patience. Sorry if I f***ed name up. If you've not heard of Joachim before, he's the guy that turned up to the World Championships on a street trials bike and then basically forfeited and just didn't do any of his run just to try the most massive bunny hop ever for absolutely no reason. It was huge, it's like as big as my shoulder. Unlike some other street trials parts, this isn't a pop product, it's got no gimmicks, it's just good, honest street riding with really good style. My favourite clips have to be the manny up to nose press fakey cabin, the straight on down flat down rail ride 180, and the 180 nose press to fakey up the stairs and then back onto the rail and then drop down manny 180. Just because I've not seen a fakey to nowhere since like about 2002. But he also does some massive stuff as well. Right, that's my sickest thing this week. Time to go back to the shed.
Last week, this is a bit of a gear change. I asked some people what I should do. Hashtag Martin should.
Yeah.
Because Rich shut up's one of them. Well done. Rich is off to do his rerun of the amazing 24-hour race that he did last year.
Pueblo, Arizona.
Yeah, which looks like
it's
a hellish day.
February.
Some great suggestions though of what I should do. Yeah. Mega Avalanche on the Random Tandem with Blake.
It's been talked
That's
about.
A good one. Thank you, Adam Lowe.
Yeah.
Explosive Notes, he said Sam Pilgrim on the Random Tandem.
Yeah, I've done that, have you?
No, I haven't. I can't believe that, actually.
That's a good idea.
That's a great one. Also, he said about a GCN show presented by Martin and me, yourself, Neil, and also a Dirt Shed show presented by Si and Dan.
I've done that, haven't we?
Which we mocked up once.
It's an April Fool's.
But maybe we should have a proper show done. Also, Jorm Gander, he said, do a bike packing trip with Blake and Hank and Rob Warner. No thanks, not into that. 24 hours on a Random Tandem, definitely not into that. It's got pressure sores written all over it.
So was Everesting.
Everesting down.
December. That's what I did at Fort William. Terrible idea.
Terrible idea.
Because Fort William's horrendous. Although last week, I went to Dublin, as I said, I did 3,100 metres of descending, just having a regular day at the bike park. I was shocked.
I mean, 8,000's a lot, though. Maybe I could do it over a weekend.
It's too much.
Yeah, maybe a little sleep in the middle. And then Ben on a bike says, I don't know whether to say this out loud or not, because I don't really know what I'm talking about. It says, should make funeral potatoes for GMBN crew. What are funeral potatoes?
I don't know what that means.
Shall I Google it?
No.
I should Google it, and let's see what comes up. Funeral potatoes, said Sam.
Recipe.
Gange.
What? Oh, it's actual
thing. It's
hash brown.
Easy cheesy funeral potatoes. Why are they called funeral potatoes? Why do they call them funeral potatoes?
Why should
they are
make
called funeral potatoes to get their unique name from being a crowd-pleasing casserole served with singles.
Served at funerals.
That could not have been more boring. I thought it was going to be some sort of like, oh, they're potatoes that are baked in the rear end of a cow.
Oh, my God.
Or something like that, but no. Hacks and bodges, Neil. Let's have a look.
I haven't seen them, but I'm late to the game here. What
well,
we got?
Got a really good one. Chain whip. I like this.
We've seen a
repurposed chain and basically a bit of log by Oliver. So if you're actually listening to the Dirt Shed Show on YouTube Music, which can be as a podcast, if you're doing that, let me describe it. Basically, we've got a bit of a log out on the trail, a chain attached to it, and it's been made into a chain whip for a cassette.
But that's not on the trail, because he must have attached it to two.
I think he must have done it at home.
It's going to work, though, isn't it?
It's working there.
Yeah.
I like that. And it's a great way. I mean, those tools, how much would one of those tools cost?
I don't know, because I've had one for years. Now I've worked out it doesn't work that well, because chains have changed so much.
Yes.
It actually, if you're not careful, it slips off the cassette. But it works well enough.
But well done, Oliver. Thanks for sending it in.
Hemo. Yeah. Whoever Hemo is, has drilled a Maxxis Minion with screws. I presumably to ride, or it actually says, ice, ride an icy downhill track from a couple of years back. 20 mil tall screws.
This just looks like an absolute disaster.
I know
to
a friend of mine, Rob Jarman, who's a stuntman, he used to be a former pro racer, went and tried to do the speed record on snow, did that, and he dragged his rear end on his rear tyre.
Oh, no.
And got a sore bottom.
Oh, sore bottom's got to be an understatement. He's got to rip himself a new one.
A sore understatement as well.
Oh, my God. That's so bad. Yeah, but basically a tyre with loads of screws sticking out. Crazy. I mean, we got to give someone the race top this week for the best hack or bodge. Who are you going with? Absolutely night. I think that chain works.
Homemade tools, good.
Yeah,
Oliver. Blake did a homemade tools thing the other week.
Yeah, Oliver, well done. You have got yourself a GMBM race top, which is a great prize. And if you'd like to win yourself a GMBM race top, send us a hack or a bodge into the uploader that's linked in the description down below, and you could be a winner.
Hey, don't forget, fans, race fans, head over to Shop Shout Out. We've got loads of good gear over there.
Yeah.
What's your favourite bit of gear at the moment? Mine's fleece line beanie.
I've ordered this, so it's definitely my favourite. I'm waiting for it to turn up. Oversized emblem tee. That Rich had on last week. I still haven't got it yet, but as soon as I saw it, I was like, I want that.
We do appreciate your support. I know it's a blatant plug, but we do appreciate your support. When you buy our gear, and we love seeing it out on the trail as well.
Yeah. Okay, time for caption contest. Now, let me describe the picture from last week that we put up just for our audio listeners, right? Okay, basically, it's a bit of forced perspective, Blake looking very big, Rich looking really little. And it's quite funny because it's actually in real life the other way around.
It's like Father Ted.
Yeah, it's very, very strange.
The daughter cows are just far away.
Yeah, well, you're guessing. Oh, okay. You're guessing. Damon Bassett sent in his caption for this one. Blake has tried adjusting stem length, bar length and wheel sizes. Now on the tinkering with co-presenter sizes. This week, Mini Rich. I like it. Next week, Mega Anna.
Yeah. No, it's Anna. Yeah. Cornish characters, would you believe it, is here. Blake Powers. So, little fella, I'm curious, is everything in proportion?
That's an Austin Powers joke, isn't it? Yeah, mini me. I've heard that about Rich, though, haven't you?
What?
Tiny.
Oh.
I'm not going to say anything. Is he a dinky little man?
Dinky Rich.
Or is Exocycles? He's gone with the Father Ted. Let's go over this again, Blake. You are small, Rich is far
away.
It
is confusing, isn't it?
Yeah, it would be for Blake. Well, what are we going to do? Neil, I'm going to let you award the stunt mug.
Pick someone.
Stunt mug on its way to...
Well, Damon Bassett.
Damon.
6843.
Well done. Audio viewers, guess what's happening?
An animal mug has been thrown across the studio.
Yeah, it's starting to chip and go everywhere. What should I get in your skin?
Yeah.
Here's the photo for this week's caption contest. If you do it well, you could win yourself a stunt mug. Give us the caption for that photo in the comments down below. You could win yourself a stunt mug next week. Good
stunt
luck.
It?
Oh, you know, I was wanting it. I can't throw it.
Oh, why can't we throw it?
Oh, you can.
Oh, yeah, we can. You're right.
Hey, we've got some great videos coming up on the channel this week.
Guess what I tried to do? I thought it sounded like a great video title, so I thought I'd go and do it. Ride a triple black diamond trail on a hardtail. Turns out January in North Wales isn't as dry and warm as warm as you'd hope, and actually the trails are really slippy. You can watch that on Saturday.
Yes, Saturday.
And see how well I fare.
Yeah, and then we've got our light MTB's best.
Rich has been trying out light bikes.
And you know what? I've got to be honest, right? Because we were looking at expensive bikes earlier on, the ones that really made me, you know, got my sort of juices going, I was like, oh, I like the look of that, were the XE bikes, the super light bikes, the Scott Spark, stuff like that.
I've just seen a new Canyon Lux.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like light is the way to go. That's what feels like a deadly mountain bike weapon to me.
At the moment, it's so muddy and slow in the woods, I rode my enduro bike and it felt like hard going, to be fair.
Really, really. And of course, we've got that most expensive bikes video coming up as well. So if you want to look at some of the most expensive bikes out there at the moment, there's some big numbers. Just to give you a bit of an idea, right, the bike that only just made it onto the list at number 10 was a turquoise top end Yeti. It only just made it onto the list.
10 grand plus, surely.
It was bang on, 10 grand. Oof. Yeah. So that's where that list goes from. So I wore it.
10 up.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Can't wait to see what you bought online.
coming up next, it's Spike Vault.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm going to regret this.
All right.
Maybe we'll make them all nice so there's no bell ringing. Okay, first up. So basically, last week in the bike vault, Rich asked for dirt jump and free ride bikes.
I like it.
And he wants to see some of those. They're rare beasts.
So this is Jack's bike, Transition Sentinel. He says, it's my first love. I think my bike's probably my first love.
I mean, I'm a trials rider, right? So a slammed seat does it for me.
And it's not a dropper.
I love a slammed seat.
Is it? No, it is a dropper.
No.
Is it a dropper? Look, you know when it... No, it is. You know when it's not a dropper, when people have committed.
Yes, that's the one I'd go with. Yeah, this is a part-time free rider here. Yeah. Jack, come on, go
nice.
All in.
Right, super nice.
Next up...
This reminds me of John Cowan. Oh, it is a Conan Cowan.
This is Russell. Do you remember them Conas?
I do.
That was my joke, see, you know, because we were saying Kona.
Oh, when out, I get you.
You know, well, it's...
mismatched rear. It's got white rear rim. Don't like white rims. I used to run white rims. I was made to run them on a
team. Got it sort of aged,
doesn't
it? It's a time when white rims run
and
around.
And a red front rim DT Swiss. I know why, because you've probably slammed the rear one. But
it's nice.
And those Maxxis Larsens are like the legendary dirt jump. Kind of XC tyre.
It's nice. Next up, we've got a Specialized P3 in a really interesting sort of pink-white
like
fade.
California sunset.
Yeah,
to me, that's
bombers it. On it. It's got the old classic tail whip rear brake wrap around the head stem.
Mike says he rides his eight-year-old daughter every weekend on a local skate park in Charlottesville.
It's a very hot-looking hardtail.
I'm gonna
super
that
nice. Next, we've got a Marin. Marin Alcatraz. I guess this is what Matt Jones is riding, isn't it? One of these bikes?
I like it, but I don't like the cable routing across the top tube. Is disappointing.
Yeah, the old head tube wrap has made it all look a bit untidy.
Otherwise, single speed, no front brake. That's good, isn't it?
I think that's a super nice
too.
Alfie's got it, doesn't it? And last up, we've got Reese's 1999 Kano stuff.
Kano?
It's a Kona.
Yeah.
He doesn't know the name of his own bike.
I had one of them. I think. Are those Hayes brakes, by any chance?
It's aged a little bit with its geometry.
Has it?
I think so.
A Kona of that vintage, they have certain... Is that 24-inch wheels, I reckon that is?
I think it might be.
Oh, I had 24-inch wheels on my Kona. You don't pedal the thing around any trails, but you're not going to, because you're going to ride dirt jumps on it.
I just feel like, you know, it's if you stood on that bike with the bottom bracket so close to the head tube, you know, you're going to be stood up so straight.
Yeah.
You would have that...
That was the look. Baggy jeans.
Baggy jeans, stood up straight. Yeah, it would have that 90s look about it. But that makes sense, because that's where it's from. And there you go, we're out of the bike vault. If you've got a bike, you must have, surely. Send it in to the uploader, and we will have a look next week, and we might be saying it's super nice, which would mean literally nothing, Neil. But it's fun to find out, I guess.
Have you seen the rant? We have here.
Yeah, we have had a little bit of a rant there on some rules on Bike Vault from Mark Peterson, which is worth a thought.
Do there need to be rules? He says, right, the Bike Vault means nothing. If every Tom, Dick and Harry gets in, there are rules and they must be followed, or the whole thing is meaningless.
I love
it. You mean it has meaning?
I love his passion for it, Mark. I love that you're very, very passionate about it.
As I get it, I'm a mountain biker and we hate rules for the most part, at least been told what to do. But what do you need? Only super nice bikes get the top ribbon. No sad stories. And I just want to make their day crap. Harsh. I suggest you follow example that Road Boys has set. Who watches that?
Right, if you've made it this far, I really want to know in the comments down below, what are the rules of the Bike Vault? We've made this thing up and we don't know the rules. What should we, shouldn't we be doing? So Bike Vault should is your new hashtag this week. Add that in if you want to get involved. And we might take notice of it. We might not. You never know. But we'll definitely take a look at them next week. Neil, we're done for this week on the Dirt Shed Show.
We are. It's been good. Hopefully there'll be more good news to talk about in next week's show. Because I feel like we've hit the bottom. We're coming back up.
The Great Reset.
Although, I mean, we'll find out.
The Great Reset. It's coming. Thanks for watching. Give us a like, give us a share, and we'll see you next week on the Dirt Shed Show.
See ya.